Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that while you were pagans, somehow or other, you were led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, that accused with open head, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink, and so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into a church family. We pray that as we think about 1 Corinthians 12 now, that we'd be all the more appreciative of that. Help us to work together as a body. Here we pray. Amen. How important is church to you? Are you important to church? As I ask those questions, perhaps some thoughts are running through your mind. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, yes, yes. I do lots of things for church. I mean, we've had lots of different people this morning who've done all sorts of different jobs that enabled this morning to happen. Maybe you answer no. Maybe you think to yourself, well, I can't see any way that I contribute to church. I can't see any way the church contributes to me. Perhaps you think to yourself, well, if only I was just like that person over there. Maybe you've read this passage beforehand and you know what the answer is. The passage is going to give us this morning. Either way, this morning we are thinking about church family. And in particular, we're thinking about how we bring glory to God as a church family. We're back with the Corinthians this morning. And one thing you need to know about the Corinthians is that they individually want to be the most important. They are a church that is obsessed, absolutely obsessed, with distinction, status, eager to elevate themselves above everyone else, to be right at the top of the pile. And gifting, ability, serving is the topic of the moment. The Corinthians here are wondering, what abilities are the most prestigious? What tasks in the church will get the most noticed? How can they serve themselves whilst claiming to serve each other? I mean, gifts are important to the church. Just have a look what Paul says right at the start of this letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Paul says to this church, "For in him, that is Christ, you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you." Can you see there? A gifted church is a church that Christ is among. But that also means that a gifted church cannot be one that prides itself on its gifts, because those gifts have been given to it. But the issue in our passage this morning is that the Corinthians don't get it. And so we have an opportunity this morning to see what they don't get and to get it as well. So last Sunday we saw we are one body. We are the body of Christ, and that affects our actions. But it goes further. It goes further than simply sharing the Lord's Supper together. In fact, it affects every area of life. So what do you think about your part in church? How important is church to you? Do you feel that you contribute a lot? Or perhaps the opposite, do you feel that you don't contribute much at all? Do you believe this morning that you matter? That you matter to the life of this church? Well, today we're going to see that every single one of us plays a part, a vital part in this church. And so we bring glory to God by using our spirit-given gifts for the body. We bring glory to God by using our spirit-given gifts for the body. This morning, every single Christian is of value. Every single Christian is important to church. From those who are serving up front and visibly, to those working quietly behind the scenes. Paul wants us to see this morning that every role, every part of the church is crucial. In fact, you could say Paul wants us to see that the one who cleans the loo is just as important as you. Now, we might not do this precisely the way the Corinthians do, but there are many ways that we can deny this truth in this passage. From the person who says, "I can do church alone," to the person who has the mindset of, "Well, I'll do church whenever it fits my schedule. I'll do church whenever there's nothing else on." Even the way that we answer that question at the start, thinking that I'm important, or thinking I'm useless. Each one of those answers this morning, in fact, misses the point. We're to love the Lord our God with all that we are. And that means we love his church too. And so the first thing Paul shows us this morning, the first part of the answer we're going to drill into this morning, is that every member has the Spirit. That is, every Christian is part of the body because they have the Spirit. You can see that in verses 1 to 3. Now, the Corinthian church, they might think they know things. But again, this morning, we're showing they do not understand something else. And this morning, if you look at verse 1, that is what it is to be spiritual. Have a look at verse 1. "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And literally, Paul says, they are uninformed about the spiritual. Now, that's really important that we get that before we run off too quickly with what these chapters are saying. The Corinthians are missing the point. The Corinthians are uninformed. So what do we need to know about the spiritual? Well, Paul takes it back to before they were believers. Have a look at verse 2.
You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. The Corinthians, before they came into the fellowship of the Son, before they were believers, well, they were pagans. They followed dumb idols. Now, when Paul says dumb, he's not saying stupid, okay? He means mute. These idols were mute. They didn't say anything. They didn't speak. But that changed. Have a look at verse 3. That changed when in verse 3 they followed Jesus. Just notice, now they speak. Listen to verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now that verse doesn't mean there's a magic formula that if you utter it, it makes you a Christian. Instead, it's taking us back to what Paul has said at the start of this letter. And that helps us define what it is to be spiritual. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. What that's saying there is, a spiritual person hears the message of the cross, and they see it as good news. A spiritual person hears the gospel and accepts it as wisdom. A spiritual person looks at the cross, and they say, that there is how God saves. They do not look at the cross and go, oh no, Jesus is cursed. You see what that means? It means a spiritual person, therefore, is a Christian. A spiritual person is someone who confesses, who lives out that Jesus is Lord and listens to what he says and lives by it. That is what a Christian is. And so every Christian has the Spirit. You cannot separate the two. You can't have a Christian without the Spirit, and you can't have someone with the Spirit who is not a Christian. The two go together. Every Christian has the Spirit. Isn't that a great equaliser? In the church, there is no rank of more spiritual. Every Christian has the Spirit. No believer has more of the Spirit than another believer. Every Christian is equally endowed with the Spirit. In fact, if you disagree with that, if you say there are ranks and levels of Spirit, well, you actually love the Corinthians here. And just notice what Paul says about them. They're uninformed. But there is more going on here than that. Why? Why does every member, why does every Christian have the Spirit? I mean, this tends to get missed in the discussions around this topic. Yeah, Paul has said it already. Have a look again at verse 3. Those who have the Spirit do what? They speak. Those with the Spirit are those who speak God's words to the world out there. And to us lot in here. As we've thought about through the whole letter of 1 Corinthians, believers, Christians, speak, point to the one true God. They point people to him with their words. Can we see what that means? Every one of us, every believer here has a part to play in the church. Every member has a part to play in bringing God glory. Every Christian has a part to play in telling people about the one true God. Every member has the Spirit. But Paul doesn't stop there, does he? With that point in place, he then explains our second point this morning. That is, that every member is gifted. Every Christian has a Spirit-given gift. Every member is gifted. Have a look at verses 4 to 11. See, every believer who has the Spirit is given a gift. You can see that, verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Do you see that there? To each one. That is, to every believer. Every Christian is gifted. Yet, we are all gifted in different ways. Have a look at verse 4. there are different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working. There is a variety in the gifts that God gives his people. There is variety in the things that can be put into the service of the one true God. God gifts his people, his church, with what they need. There is no definitive list of gifts. Now in Corinth, that is a reason to rank people. Now, who is most important to church? Who has more value in church? But notice how Paul finishes each one of those sentences. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Each gift, each service, each working is from the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. To focus on the gift instead of the giver misses the point. To divide over who does what is to miss the point. To think of the receiver as the one who is important instead of the giver is to miss the point. It is God who gives all the gifts. But why? Why does God give gifts? Well, have a look at verse 7. This is key to see. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God gives the church what the church needs when the church needs it. Let me say that again. God gives the church what the church needs when the church needs it. Again, Paul's already said that. Start of the letter. Therefore, he can say to the Corinthians, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. See, as the Corinthians are waiting for Jesus to return, they have everything they need. As we, Christ your temple, wait for Jesus' return, we have everything we need. Do you believe that this morning? See, these gifts are given by God for the common good. Just notice what that means for a moment. That means there is no such thing here as a gift given for private use. See that? The gifts that God gives here, their spiritual gifts, are for public use. They are for the building up, for working together, for the good of all. How does that change the Corinthian? How does that change our view on what it is to be spiritual this morning? Well, it means that if you want to speak, if you want to ask, is someone spiritual? We should really start by asking, does someone serve? Someone who serves is someone who is spiritual. Because every member is gifted for the common good. Every member is gifted for the sake of everyone else. You might have seen the body of work this morning as these crisps came in. Spiritual gifts should not be like a sharing bag of crisps. Spiritual gifts shouldn't be like a sharing bag of crisps. Let me tell you why. A marketing study has just come out in this country concluding that these bags that say for sharing are usually shared between one person. I mean, it's the packet of crisps you buy, isn't it, when you actually want more than a handful. Thanks, Walkers. This is what you buy when you want to sit in front of the TV and have a packet of crisps to yourself, right? Sharing bags might say they are for sharing, but they're rarely ever used for sharing. That means they're shared this morning, doesn't it? Just realise that. They might say they're for sharing, but they rarely are. But you see, God's gifts are not like that. God's gifts are for the sake of everyone. There is no, this is for my private relationship with God, going on here. Any gift that God has given you, any spiritual gift, is for the building up of the church. And here's something we've not explicitly said yet. But these gifts are gifts. The word gift here could be translated grace gift. That is, these are gifts that we do not deserve. These are gifts that flow out of the generosity of God. These are gifts that we cannot claim make us more important because God gave them to us freely. God gifts his church for the sake of his church. So to make someone more important, to think of yourself as more important, is not the right response, is it? And to think of yourself as useless is also to miss the point. Every single gift that God gives is God's grace. Every single gift is what God has decided we need as a church at this time until Jesus returns. How can we know what our gift is? I mean, that's a good question, if you're asking right. And the answer is, well, where are you called to serve? How could you serve the common good at this time? Maybe you've never thought about that. You'd like to have a chat, come and speak afterwards. But the big point is this. Every Christian is gifted because every Christian has the Spirit. The Corinthians here, they think some gifts are more important than others. They think certain people are more important and others are expendable. They think that some things matter and others, well, not so much. We could do exactly the same, can't we? Perhaps as we read this passage, our interest is piqued by something that sounds a bit strange. Perhaps we could say supernatural. Oh, I wonder what that gift is. Oh, I mean, that sounds impressive, doesn't it? We're going to have more time to think about these gifts, the ones that are listed in chapter 14, when we get there. So do come and join us if you want to know. But here, if we were to dwell on those gifts now, we'd be missing the point. Just notice there is no category. There is no category of supernatural versus natural gifts. They are all from God. You can say they're all supernatural. They're all, though, for the use of building up the church, for the goal of speaking about the one true God. So if we were to say some gifts are supernatural, well, we end up underplaying God's grace, don't we? In the things we say, oh, that's just normal. For instance, have a look at verse 9. In this list of gifts, right there at the start of verse 9, Paul says, faith. Do you class faith as a gift? Well, Paul does. See, those people who are struggling, those people who are struggling but are still here, they're a gift to the church, aren't they? If that's you this morning, you are a gift to the church. As we see your faith, as it goes through trial, it encourages us all. I mean, you might not think that's flashy. That's not the point. If you struggle to be here and you feel that you're not playing any part in church life, let me tell you today, you are a gift to us by being here. You're serving us by being here. Do you see that? So this morning, simple question for all of us. How are you serving the church? Are you using the gifts for the common good? Are you working to build up everyone else here? Because every member is gifted. So where have we been? Well, every Christian, every member has the Spirit. And that same Spirit gives every Christian gifts. And the final thing to see this morning, where Paul spends most of his time, is that every member is part of the body. We are to use our Spirit-given gifts for the body. And every member is part of the body. Verses 12 to 31. We've seen this over the past few weeks, haven't we? Christ has a body. And believers together are that body. I mean, it's a great analogy, isn't it? You only have to think about your body for a moment to get what that means. Your body is one. You have one body. That's right, then. But that body has many parts, doesn't it? But all those parts form one body. And the same goes for Jesus. As we were called into the body, signified by baptism, that's how we come in, we became that body. Have a look at verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. You see, there is one body, but it's made up of all sorts. Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free. All of those made one by the Spirit, all made one body. Those things the world divides over are gone as we're joined together in Jesus. So that means we should act as one body, doesn't it? A body doesn't compete with itself to be more important. One strength in the body is a strength to the whole body. Verse 15. Just imagine your foot or your ear decided it didn't feel like part of the body. That doesn't stop it being part of the body, does it? You see, if you're a believer here this morning, you belong. even if you don't feel like it. You're part of the body. If you feel on the outside, well, please don't stay there. Come in. Get stuck in. Be part. Serve. Use your gift. Be served. We'll have a look at verse 17. Just imagine if your whole body was an eye. I mean, your vision would be amazing, wouldn't it? You could probably roll around a bit. But you'd be missing out so much, wouldn't you? In fact, you wouldn't be a body, would you? You see, you can't go alone. That is why, as a church, we don't want to become siloed into different groups. There is great wisdom in mixing people together, allowing people to serve one another, in people being different. But it also means that we can't and shouldn't ever think, well, I just wish everyone was like me. A church family is made up of all sorts of people. A church family is bigger than a natural family. A church family is a demonstration of the gospel. Because the gospel takes individuals who are different and joins them together into one. A body of only eyes wouldn't be a body, would it? In fact, a body of only eyes would be extremely freaky. There should be diversity in the church. We should not all be wishing to be the same. That is, to have the same gifts. In fact, have a look at verse 18. This verse is extremely encouraging. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Do you see what's being said there? God is the one who places all the parts of the body, every single one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God placed you here. God formed the church as God intended. God formed Christ Church Hemel as God intended. God has gifted this church family with what it needs right now, and we do not lack anything as we wait for Jesus' return. If we think that we need something, or that we should be something other than what God has made us, we're going against God's plan. We're saying we know better than God. A body is made up of many parts, but it is still one body. In fact, for a body to function correctly, it needs all those parts, doesn't it? If you thought that the head was most important, the rest didn't matter, just try getting rid of it, see how far you get. I mean, zombies never get too far, do they? If the heart could do it on its own, well, try cutting it out and see what it's going to do on its own. It doesn't last long, does it? A body needs each part. A church needs each part. We, this morning, need each part. And so, as a church family, we should not be doing surgery. We should not be amputating the body. I mean, verse 21, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, well, I don't need you. But that is what the Corinthians were doing. That is what we do if we do not love this body. If we see something or someone here as unnecessary, that is what we're doing. That is not to negate, though, that some parts of the body are more visible, are more obvious than others. Just like a body, some parts of church life are on show. Some come out when the sun is shining. Others stay behind the scenes the whole time. But like a body, when something goes wrong, the whole body knows about it. Some tasks that enable this church here to function, to do its job, well, you might not have noticed them this morning. Let me call them out. Perhaps the getting out of these chairs. They're not here. If you come here early in the morning, someone gets them out. The person who buys the refreshments that enables us to discuss and build each other up afterwards. The person who prints the song sheets. The person who does the projection so that we all can encourage each other in song. The list goes on and on and on. But let me tell you this morning, if those things didn't happen, you sure would notice. God has put the body together, verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. God has put this body together, and so there should be no division within it. We should care for this body as we care for our own, which means we suffer together, which means we rejoice together. In fact, that's what we promise as church members here. In Corinth, that means to go ahead and eat meat, as the Corinthians were doing, without caring for others, really matters. That means that dishonouring your head, as some were thinking about earlier, matters. That means that excluding parts of the body at the Lord's Supper really matters. Because there are many members, but one body. And if you haven't got it yet, have a look at verse 27. Verse 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Y'all are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. But in Christ's church, we are not all gifted the same way. And we should never think that we should be. We are not all extroverts. We're not all introverts. We are not all upfront people. We're not all behind-the-scenes people. But each and every one of us matters. And each and every one of us is part of the body. Paul makes that point, verse 28. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. All teachers? All miracle workers? The list goes on and on and on. But the answer should be no. Because the body is made up of many parts, but it is one body. And God has put that body together exactly the way he wants it to be. So we want to avoid amputation. But we don't leave things there. You see, the point of the body is that we should be working together. An eye that doesn't work with the hands and with the mouth leads to a mess. Watch a child eating at dinner time. Instead, we should be wanting to build up the body. It'd be crazy to understand this and then to seek to destroy the body, wouldn't it? That helps us understand, actually, what Paul says. Verse 31. This might be a confusing verse. We can make sense of this. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. After all, Paul's just said, is he now saying that some gifts are more important, that some gifts are greater? Is he saying you should desire, you should be jealous of something better than you have? That can't be the case, can it? And it isn't the case. What makes a gift greater is if it contributes to the good of everyone else. We are to use our spirit-given gifts for the sake of the body. And so Paul is saying, desire to do that. Be zealous about that. Eagerly desire that. In fact, we should be asking, how can I serve the body around me? That's exactly what Paul has been doing here. Paul could have used his wisdom. Paul could have used his knowledge to put people back in their place, to remind them that he is so special, that he saw Jesus. He's an apostle. He has authority. He could have placed himself right at the top and put everyone else beneath him. But instead, he has shown the more excellent way. In fact, he's following the example of Christ. He has used his gift all the way through this letter to build up the body. He's used his gift throughout this letter for the common good, to speak and point people to the one true God. And so, we should be doing the same, shouldn't we? We should be desiring to build up the body too. To be a body that together speaks of our great hope. A body that speaks of the one true God. So this morning, I hope and I pray that you recognise your important place within this body. And that you understand that everyone else's role is equally vital. That you are important to church and the church is important to you. So we should commit, shouldn't we? Let's commit to building up this body, to encouraging one another to speak, to being a community or a body on mission with the words. Three practical ways we can do that this week. Three practical ways to do that this week. Are we ready? First, stay. Stay between coffee and stay for lunch. We have our church lunch this morning, and that is a great time to put this into practice, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to serve one another. Secondly, this week, join a growth group. Don't just see Sunday morning as the only opportunity to do this. We meet throughout the week on purpose for this. Be part of a group that meets during the week. Because remember, everyone with the Spirit has something to give. And thirdly, church weekend is next week. Actually, it's less than a week's time. If you are there, deliberately use the opportunity to serve one another and build each other up. But overall, let's work together, shall we, as one body, using our spirit-given gifts to glorify God. And so let's pray for his guidance and his strength to serve one another faithfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that every believer is part of Christ's body, that every believer here is important in this church. Father, we pray this morning that we would truly believe that, whether we think we're useless, would we see that you have a plan for us, that we are included, when we think we're important and others aren't. Help us to rethink that, we pray. Thank you that you've given us all your Spirit. Therefore, help us to speak of you and point people to you. Thank you that each and every one of us is gifted by you. Help us to use those gifts for the good of the rest of this church. And Father, we thank you that we are a body. Where we struggle with that, thinking that we're self-sufficient, thinking that we don't have a part, well, please this morning change our minds. Cause us to repent of that this morning, we pray. And help us to commit to the body that is here. So please, as we go into this week now, we pray that you'd help us to take opportunities to build up that body, whether at lunch now, whether during the week, whether during the weekend away. Help us to be those that really care about this body, who love this body, who love Jesus' body, we pray. Amen.